You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Braves baseball today on this Friday, November 3rd, with our good friend Mark Bowman, Braves reporter for MLB.com. Mark, we thank you as always for the time. What we're doing today with the offseason in its infancy here in day two, it's never too soon, though, to look ahead to the Braves' chances in 2018. But before we kind of get to that, want to get your thoughts on the just-concluded 2017 Fall Classic between the Astros and the Dodgers, and the Astros today, as we speak on this Friday, having a parade in downtown Houston to celebrate the first-ever world title for the Stros. And, Mark, a very entertaining World Series, no question. I think that Game 7 didn't live up to the entertainment value of the first six games. That was a tough act to follow with all the twists and turns and unpredictability. But nonetheless, you know, you had two 100-win teams in the Fall Classic for the first time since 1970, and people were expecting a great World Series, and I think they got it. And hats off to the Astros for ruling baseball for the very first time.
It was a sensational World Series, and you know, last Friday you and I were sitting there talking about, you know, whether Game 2 is the greatest game in world, you know, or where that ranked among the best games in World Series history. And 2 days later, it didn't even rank as the best game in the series in that particular World Series. So, I think that, everyone has talked about it. We all know how great it was. I think from the Braves perspective, the Atlanta perspective, it was a special series just because, you know, the fans got to see a lot of likable characters. The fans of Atlanta didn't get to know Charlie Morton all that well. He was just here for a portion of the 2008 season at the big league level. But, you know, here's a highly likable guy, and it's great to see where his career has gone. To see him, you know, not only pitch so well in Game 7, but Game 4, his start. That was great to see Brian McCann go and win a championship. You know, he will always be a beloved character here. He will go into the team's Hall of Fame at some point in time. That's hometown kid. He will always hold a special place in the hearts of the Braves fans. And Alex Wood, just to see him do what he did for the Dodgers, that was, you know, I know Braves fans probably, that just adds more fuel to the fire of the hatred for the Hector Olivera trade, which, that continues to linger with, as they're stuck with Matt Kemp right now. But, I think the one thing I tweeted out the other day was, that image of Evan Gattis crying. We all know his story. We all know where he came from. We were all shocked when we wrote that story for the first time when he came to spring training. And just to think about, the emotions that this big beast was showing there, that's the image that's going to stick with me. Just how great it was to see Evan Gattis go from cook, janitor, whatever else, the guy who one time had to buy, he bought a six-pack for a homeless guy just to help him get his truck started in San Francisco. And once he got the truck started, he wasn't able to turn it off. I can't remember what that was. It was the starter or something wasn't working. But he drove all the way back to Texas with that truck. When he stopped to get gas, he had to keep the truck running. So to think about where that guy's gone and where he was that night, this series will – I don't think I'll ever forget, how great every game was and just the moments and just understanding exactly what it meant to these personalities.
Yeah, I mean, the Gattis thing obviously stands out. This guy is as old school and kind-hearted as they come. You know, I think they pointed out every at-bat during the telecast, he doesn't wear batting gloves. It got a little annoying, but we all know it at this point, but it still just speaks to how tough he is and his character and his makeup and like I said, old school and a big-hearted, big teddy bear, and so great to see the emotion from him. Great to see it for Brian McCann. So many great years with the Braves, and as you said, Alex Wood as well. That's that trade still hurts, but it was nice to see it for him, even though obviously he was on the losing side. But great stuff all the way around. Certainly a classic Fall Classic, and hats off to the Astros, the 2017 World Champs. So, Mark, as we dive into the Braves prospects here for 2018, what would you say is Atlanta's biggest area of need, and how do you think they go about addressing that need? Do you see a free agent signing? Do you see maybe them pulling off a trade, or maybe a guy from the minors that could step up and fill a role for them?
You know, I think that if they're going to make a move on the free agent market, or maybe even be a trade, I think the one definite area in need is to add some experience to that bullpen. You know, one baffling move John Coppola made at the end of the 2016 season was giving Jim Johnson a 2-year deal.
Right.
When you step back and you said, okay, since you're giving Jim Johnson a 2-year deal, you just have to assume that they're going to keep Roger McDowell, the guy who fixed Jim Johnson, as their pitching coach. Well, when Jim Johnson went south this year, which was at late May, early June, he just was never able to get right, and now you're stuck with another year on that contract. Now, I get it. You really have no choice but to bring him back, but at the same time, you can't count on him. You have to go out and get some insurance. You have to go get some proven arms to add to that mix. You have two guys that could be closers in that bullpen already, and Rodis Vizcaino and A.J. Minter, who ended this first season at the big league level by striking out 17 of the final 31 batters he faced. This guy has closer stuff. Jose Ramirez can be a decent setup guy for you. Jim Johnson, if he rebounds, can be there. Daniel Winkler, you like what they're seeing there. You don't need a complete overhaul, but you need to go get a couple quality arms just to add to the depth of that bullpen, and more importantly, add to the experience. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's probably go get that bullpen fixed.
Absolutely. This seems to be a top priority for many teams around baseball, not just the Braves. We'll see what they do in the offseason to shore that up. And, Mark, how about the biggest area of strength on the flip side? What should Braves fans feel the best about regarding their team heading into next year?
You know, this offense has a lot of capability. We'll have to see what they do to create a spot for Ronald Acuña. And, you know, there are no guarantees what Acuña is going to do during his first year at the big league level, but this is as good a prospect as the Braves have produced in a long, long time. You know, some people say Jason Hayward. I think in terms of just overall, just offensive upside, everything, I go back to Andrew Jones. I think that, you know, you look at the top of that lineup, you've got Ender and Ciarte. If you have a healthy full season of Freddie Freeman, you never know what he can do. He was a legit MVP candidate in 2016 and was on his way to maybe even having a better finish in that in the MVP balloting this year, had he not gotten hurt, had he not broken that wrist. A full year with him, you have to decide whether you're going to keep Matt Kemp or Nick Markakis. You need Matt Kemp to stay healthy. But at the same time, there's potential within this lineup. Their catchers showed their offensive potential this year with Kurt Suzuki and Tyler Flowers. That's nice. You want to see some progress from Dansby Swanson. But I think offensively, this club has that potential to score enough runs to, you know, at least support the pitching staff on a consistent basis.
And, Mark, I want you to identify two players for me, one at each end of the spectrum here. Give me a guy that could possibly be a candidate for regression in 2018 after maybe overperforming a bit in 2017. And then on the flip side, a guy that could bounce back in 2018 after not performing up to standards this past year.
You know, the one thing is, you know, Kurt Suzuki hitting 19 home runs this year. Yeah, that certainly exceeded expectations. At the same time, I'd say he's the one guy. I don't think you can count on that kind of power again next year. You know, a guy who could take a step forward is certainly Dansby Swanson. We saw some improvements after he was sent down to the minors there in early August. He ended up being down there, 10 days, no more than 2 weeks. And when he came back, he had a better approach, which allowed him to stay away from pitcher's counts as frequently as he saw there the first 4 months of the season. He also seemed to cover the outer third of the plate a little better. The last couple of weeks he wasn't nearly as productive as he was that first month after he returned from the the minors. There's still plenty of growth there. Here's a guy who's just 2 years removed from college ball. You know, he didn't play a lot of ball, you know, throughout the years in terms of at the pro level. You know, and not only that, he lost his freshman season at Vandy with a broken foot. So I think that you're going to see, you know, a guy who's going to come with that improved approach, you know, more patience. There will be less pressure on him this year. I think he's the kind of guy that's going to move closer to being, you know, that 290 to 300 hitter that was envisioned when he, you know, probably even for this past season. But, you know, that's the kind of guy he'll be throughout most of his career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, number one pick or not, he's still very young, still just 2 years removed from college, as you said. And it's always peaks and valleys and roller coasters for these young guys, no matter what kind of pedigree they have. Swanson, no different. Hopefully he finds some more consistency in 2018. Mark, as we wrap up here, I want you to kind of categorize what this Braves team is right now. As you kind of, I think there's like five categories you can break any team down into. You've got your clear rebuilding teams. You've got your non-contenders. Then you move up a little bit. You've got teams contending for wild cards, teams contending for division titles, and then ultimately a team contending to win the whole thing and win a world championship. So of those five, where do the Braves best fit right now here in the first week in November?
That's a good one because it's, you know, look, they've gone through the, I think, the most painful portion of the rebuild. I think this is a team that should confidently enter this season aiming for, you know, a winning record. You know, whether you know, I don't see any difference in aiming for a winning record and a 500 record. So I think that you go ahead and enter this season saying that, you know, while it may be a surprise to many that this team could make the playoffs, I think it's certainly capable, especially if the young arms, Sean Newcomb, Luis Gohara, takes strides forward, and maybe even more importantly, Mike Foltynewicz takes that step forward. We've seen glimpses here these last two seasons of him having that top of the rotation type of stuff. As he continues to harness his emotions and learn how to best, you know, utilize his tremendous physical attributes, he has a chance to be special. There are a lot of aces. Oh well, let me not call them aces. Let's not call them legit aces. Let's call them a lot of legit number two types within this rotation. They're all, most of them are too young to be labeled that right now, but at the same time, they have that kind of potential. We're seeing where this rotation could be in the next couple of years, and you may see a Mike Soroka and some others join this team. So within, you know, at some point this summer or next summer. And, you know, once all those pieces come into place, I think you'll get a better sense, not only that this team may be able to compete for that 85 to 90 win season, but at the same time, it will create a lot of hope. When we're talking at this time next year, you know, we'll probably be saying, yes, this is a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah, it's all pointing upward for the Braves here as they enter 2018. Let's hope that they stay on that trajectory throughout the season. Mark Bowman, great stuff as always. We thank you for the time. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Atlanta Braves.